We pray, Lord God, hear us as we call upon you for guidance, and help us to hear you as you give us your answers. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. During this semester, I've been speaking to the students and faculty and staff about certain words found in Scripture. The word of the day is the word trust. The word trust is a word that we hear frequently used in the Bible, and we ourselves use it frequently in our daily conversations. Trust me. I trust that you know what you're doing. I'm trusting you to take care of this for me. The dictionary says that trust is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. So when you use the word trust in your conversation, do you always intend it to refer to a firm belief? Or when it comes to trusting another human being, do you often harbor a little doubt? Recently among U.S. presidents, there's been this saying, trust, but verify. If one feels the need to verify, then the trust is not complete, nor is it firm. The reason why we have a kind of wavering trust in human beings is that human beings are weak, changeable, forgetful, ignorant, and mortal. These and other characteristics make it impossible to be sure of what is going to happen in the future. But to be sure that a person's attitude and commitment are going to remain unchanged. To be sure that his weaknesses aren't going to take over his resolve. To be sure that he's going to live long enough to complete the task entrusted to him. In short, we can never really completely trust any human being. Too many things change in him and around him. Therefore, while we may have a degree of trust, we always want to verify just to make sure that something is getting done. There is one, however, who deserves our complete and unqualified trust. One who knows and controls the future. One who does not change. One who has no weaknesses. One who lives forever. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Let's go to the Garden of Gethsemane. There we see a man lying prostrate on the ground, moaning, pressed down with a weight that we cannot begin to imagine. We hear his murmuring voice, filled with grief and dread. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So intense is his inner agony that we're told that his sweat fell like great drops of blood to the ground. It is clear that what is about to come upon him is horrific. We lift our eyes, look off in the distance. We can see torches coming, a crowd of armed men. We want to say to this man, get up, get out of here. What you dread is coming. But he doesn't do it. Instead, he walks out to meet them. He turns himself over to them and is led away like a criminal. Why would he do this? He could have escaped. It was night, but he did not. Why? Well, the answer is trust. He trusted that this was the will of his Father. As Jesus was about to be led away, he said, "How then could the Scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen in this way?" Christ had complete trust in the word of his Father, the truthfulness of Scripture. Trust. Christ trusted that what would appear to every observer to be a crushing defeat would actually turn out to be a complete and unparalleled victory. He completely trusted the Scriptures which told him, "He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a great portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Jesus trusted that he would live again and see the millions of people who would be saved by his sacrifice. See them and welcome them into glory. Trust. The unqualified and complete confidence that God will do everything that he has promised to do. Trust. Being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was and is also able to perform. Now I'm going to lean on this lectern. I'm going to trust that this lectern is going to hold me up. However, in times past, I have leaned on things which are untrustworthy and ended up on the floor. So, I do not lean on any earthly thing with complete confidence. However, the Word of God stands forever. It is firm, sure, steadfast. In every time of trouble or fear, pain or sorrow, you can lean on the Word of God with absolute confidence. It will never fail you. It will never collapse. So does God say in his word that your sins are forgiven? Then you can have complete confidence that you are innocent in the sight of the judge. Does God say that his son's righteousness has been credited to you? Then you can trust that you are righteous in the sight of God. Does God say that the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ saves you for eternity? Then you can be confident that you are saved. You can know without a doubt that when you are standing before the judge of all, that he is going to say to you, "Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth." God is going to welcome you into heaven. Trust him. Lean on him. We pray. Heavenly Father, your word is filled with promises. Promises for this life and the life to come. Grant unto us hearts that completely trust in you, even when our own understanding seems to tell us otherwise. You gave your own son for us. How then can you withhold any good thing from us? Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Amen. We also pray for those who are going on tour. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would extend your blessings to our students as they go on tour. Grant unto them safe travel to their destinations and safe return. Bless the message which they bring to the congregations of the CLC, that it may prove a message of comfort and encouragement to all who hear. Bless also those who are in this basketball tournament. May they carry on their activities to your glory, and may you grant them safe travel back to their homes. Grant these things for Christ's sake. Amen. We'll close with hymn 437, verse 1 and verse 3.